Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols coming up here in just a few minutes when we get Mike Wilson on the line. Joe, the texts just keep coming on the text line about the Brian Kelly situation. Apparently, South Carolina, the go-to Southern National, according to Sean, on the text line.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. The South Carolina accent. I mean, if you hear someone talking from South Carolina and then someone from Arkansas, can you say, oh, South Carolina, that's Arkansas?
No, I can't. At least I don't think so.
Sorry.
By the way, Farmer Fran is the coach in the Waterboy. Farmer Fran.
Okay. So okay, that's right. So it is Farmer Fran, because I thought maybe that was a separate character in that Academy Award-winning movie. So he was the coach, Farmer Fran. Good stuff.
Do you not think that the Waterboy is top five Sandler movie? There's a lot of pushback to you on that on the text line.
I mean, off the top of my head, no, I don't. I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. It made me laugh a lot. But you know, I'm gonna go Wedding Singer. I'm gonna go Happy Gilmore. I'm gonna go Billy Madison. I'm gonna go Big Daddy. And like Funny People. So, I mean, there's five that I have ahead of it.
Okay. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Well, I'm excited to come on and hear you guys talk about funny people, because I consider myself a funny person. So that just felt like a really great opportunity to jump on the air right now.
Well, you better give us a New Zealand accent then. Let's go.
Yeah, I can't do a New Zealand accent. That's not in my repertoire.
Come on, you're from New Zealand.
I know, so I don't hear the accent in those around me. My parents have always sounded the exact same, so I don't notice the accent.
If Brian Kelly can do what he did last night, you can give us a New Zealand accent on this show right now, Mike Wilson.
You know, that's the exact reason why I won't, because that was absolutely absurd.
Was that not one of the greatest things you've ever seen?
It hurt my soul a little bit.
Oh, God, college football is so great. Mike, what have you made of all this? Brian Kelly goes from Notre Dame to LSU. Lincoln Riley goes from Oklahoma to USC. What have you made of this past week? What has been a wild week in the world of college football?
I mean, I love seeing the Lincoln Riley to USC one, because, I don't know, you feel like there's not many of those moves that really shock you at this point. And that one was kept perfectly under wraps. And I also am, you know, one of those people who grew up with the early 2000s USC being so dominant, and the thought of USC being good again is pretty wild. Brian Kelly to LSU fascinates me, and the video last night of him trying to execute a Southern accent just kind of emphasizes why I think this is such an interesting pairing. Very curious how that one works out in the long term for a school that really stresses winning it all, recruiting at a high level, for a guy who hasn't won the big one and hasn't really recruited at an elite level, given Notre Dame's restrictions and such.
Well, you spent a fair amount of your career, Mike, covering recruiting exclusively, or in particular, mm-hmm. right, heavily. So let me ask you that about Notre Dame and Brian Kelly, because I've heard those academic restrictions are so tough there. And he just couldn't recruit, you know, top classes. I think they have like a number three or number four class this year, I think. I've heard people say that's so overblown. You know, Bob Davey had some issues, but they've fixed a lot of that. And Brian Kelly wouldn't even have gone there if they hadn't, you know, really toned that down a ton. What do you think about that? Like, how much higher level can he recruit? I know he can recruit at a higher level at LSU, but how much higher?
Yeah, this is the first Notre Dame class there that has been a truly nationally elite class, which makes this timing even more interesting in that way. But in terms of access to top 100 caliber prospects, jumping to a job like LSU is a complete game changer. I mean, South Bend, Indiana isn't exactly sitting in a hotbed of five-star prospects and the skill prospects that you can recruit to LSU just from within your state, it's an absurd number every year. So right away, you just got to lock down that border, and he's got an opportunity to do that. I'm just curious from a fit standpoint, how Brian Kelly's going to fit in recruiting Louisiana. Because if you can recruit Louisiana, you can go and win a lot of games just with the guys in that state. And then obviously you're dipping into Texas as well from where he's at. But if he can recruit, and to me, this is a guy who's got to hire a high-profile recruiting staff. I mean, guys that really get after it and can recruit. I'm curious how that's going to shake out for him.
I do declare this gumbo is amazing. Can I have more?
I mean, that's all you got to do.
I need to go.
Yes, yes. Mike, I've been dealing with this all day.
Sorry.
On the show so far.
Sorry.
It's been great stuff. Mike, what about Hendon Hooker? What do you think happens on that front? Obviously, a great year for Hooker at quarterback for Tennessee. Concerned now? We had Wes Rucker on earlier this week, said maybe 50-50 as to what Hendon Hooker is going to do, going pro or coming back to Tennessee. What are your thoughts on the Hendon Hooker situation right now for the Vols?
Yeah, he's certainly played it very close to the vest, and even after, you know, the senior day game against Vanderbilt, kind of kept it that way. Didn't go through senior day, which I thought was interesting. He also suggested not to really look into that or try to analyze anything. There's really two camps here, and one of them is he turns 24 in January. Do you go and get paid now in a weaker NFL quarterback draft class, or do you come back to school and, I mean, put yourself in potentially the Heisman conversation with a full season under Josh Heupel in this offense and see what that does for your stock in a year? But then you're talking about entering the draft at 25, and that's certainly a lot different. So I think 50-50 seems pretty fair because there's really good argument for both sides of what to do next if you're Hendon Hooker.
Well, I'd be interested to see if you do have, with this fan base, with a player of his caliber, what he did this past year, coming back, like you said, people would be talking Heisman. There'd be a lot of excitement, a lot of momentum. What that would mean on the name, image, likeness front, because to me, if I was him, I'd be very interested in that. What's the answer there? Let's compare earning potential with this magical season in Knoxville with endorsements and compare that to, you know, fourth round pick money.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's certainly a factor that now weighs in obviously differently than it did before because it didn't exist before. And that is an opportunity that exists for Hendon Hooker here. I am interested in him as an NIL guy just because he's kind of low key. Pretty level, pretty low key. I mean, that's the person that we see anyway. Teammates kind of talk about that poise and composure and levelness as well. So I don't know how much he's out there pumping himself in that respect, but there's so many people in Knoxville that want to put him on things, involved in things, and get him in there. So there's money to be had there, but you have to then weigh that with the injury risk, the coming back to school. I mean, he runs the ball a lot, puts himself out there. Are you better off just going and getting a steady set paycheck in the NFL and kind of finding a backup role probably in your first year or maybe a scout team role? I don't know exactly what it would be. But, yeah, there's financial ramifications, there's future ramifications, and I'm glad I'm not the one who has to make the decision.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Mike, obviously lots of excitement right now about what Josh Heupel was able to do in his first year. They go 7-5. They look pretty good while going 7-5. We've seen coaches in the last decade or so have some moments where they look really good, and the Tennessee fan base gets excited. This one feels at least a little bit different. What are your thoughts on how Tennessee fans should feel after year one of Josh Heupel?
Yeah, I think you have to feel pretty good about it just because Heupel came in here and took, calling it what it is, a roster of largely leftovers. Tennessee's top recruits from the past few cycles mostly left via the transfer portal. I think the number of departures neared 30. And he came in, took this roster, and a defense that defensive guru Jeremy Pruitt didn't have playing well, and Tim Banks got that defense playing well. They plugged a lot of guys in from the portal and made it happen to a point where, yeah, they won 7 games and were competitive in a different way than they'd been before. So I think you have to be excited about it, but it's also, I mean, yeah, the Tennessee fan base has seen a lot of this, so it should be a cautious optimism because Heupel's got to recruit. He's got to pad out this roster. I mean, they're losing a good bit of guys there, even if you don't consider Hooker. And if Cedric Tillman's back, that obviously helps. But there's a lot of guys out there on this roster that they're going to have to replace, like Javonte Payton, Bayless Jones, Alante Taylor, Matthew Butler, Theo Jackson. There's a lot of holes to fill, but this staff has clearly shown that they can develop and they can find guys to do that.
You think there's any chance that Tim Banks could be pursued? I was, you know, James, his co-DC, of course, under James Franklin, now, you know, Virginia Tech's head coach. What do you think about the, you know, the potential pursuit of Tim Banks?
Yeah, I certainly think that that's in his future. I'm not sure if that's the right now future, but it's pretty clear that he's a guy who's going to be courted for head coaching opportunities at some point in the not so distant future. I mean, what he came in and did with Tennessee's defense was really impressive. I mean, the defensive line and secondary were pretty rough just entering this year, despite having guys who played a lot of football and they played tremendously. And that linebackers group, pretty void of consistent talent, and it played to a level enough where Tennessee could win games. And anytime I think you take a unit like that and turn it into a competitive enough unit, you're going to put yourself in that conversation.
Mike, last thing for you here. What have you thought of Tennessee on the basketball side of things so far this year? Obviously, Kennedy Chandler, pretty awesome start to the season so far. What have been your overall impressions of Rick Barnes and his squad?
Yeah, I think the first thing does start with Kennedy being as good as advertised, if not better at times. I think, too, the Santiago Viscovi buzz this offseason has been more than backed up as well. I mean, he's played tremendous basketball, both offensively, defensively. He's rebounding well. I mean, he's playing an all-SEC level right now, and that's really key for Tennessee. I think what we're seeing is how important the development and consistency of Olivier Kamwa and Brandon Hatfield will be in the front court, because those guys alongside John Fulkerson give Tennessee some options. And that, to me, is really where this team's going to find its ceiling, is if that front court develops. And certainly getting Jordan James back, too, from injury. I think he's their best defender, and that's something they really need back in that lineup at some point soon.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning and hope you have a great weekend. And now you're going to leave me alone for the next 45 minutes to listen to Rex Rhodes' Southern accents continue to flow out there. So thanks for that.
I am so sorry that I'm doing this to you.
Au revoir. Au revoir, mon ami.
Oh, God.
No.
Here we go. Mike, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville
Sentinel. He just said no and hung up.
He's been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chased away. Friend of the show. Maybe no longer a friend of the show, thanks to Joe Rexford. We'll come back, react a little bit to what Mike had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday on 102.5 The Game is the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. So looking forward to that one coming up on Sunday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe Rex Road, we've got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Montreal Canadiens coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, if you know this question. 615-737-1025. How many points did Paul Kariya have in 05-06 to set the single-season points record for the Nashville Predators? How many points did Paul Kariya have in 05-06 to set the single-season points record for the Predators that still holds to this day? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Director, do we need to get you a face mask and or helmet to handle yourself in studio, particularly while I'm gone and not in there?
Did you see it?
I ratted you out.
I was told about it.
I mean, it hurts. I hit my forehead, my temple, and it hurts. I don't know what to say. Here, take this off.
This has become a very consistent problem for Rex Road. Just like, headphones snapping back and hit him right in the face.
It's like I take it off and then it's like.
Jeez. Then he messes up the hair.
That's a reenactment. Yeah.
You don't want to touch that hair.
No. Did you see Dennis Burnside's latest photo illustration?
Yes. Yes, I did. Farmer Brian Kelly. I
feel comfortable sharing that with people. But
I have retweeted it, so I feel a little bit more comfortable now. At R. Stanley NHL on Twitter.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty awesome. Thanks to Mike Wilson for joining us in the – I almost said Brian Wilson. Thanks to Mike Wilson for joining us in the last segment. What are your thoughts, Joe Rexroad, on the Hendon Hooker situation? You know, Wes Rucker make it seem like it's 50-50. Mike Wilson said 50-50, probably a fair number. I mean, to me, it kind of seems at this point, maybe I'd go 60-40. He comes back to Tennessee. I think there's a lot of reasons that it makes sense to come back to Tennessee. I also recognize the quarterback draft class this year is not great in the NFL. What are your thoughts on Hendon Hooker? And if you had to pick one way right now, where do you think Hendon Hooker, you would lean towards him going to the NFL or him coming back to Tennessee and playing quarterback next year?
Well, some of the I think some of the answer is also in, like, what does the 2023 quarterback draft look like?
Yep.
You know, like, are you even if you have a better year, is it possible that you are hurting yourself because you're going to be, you know, farther down the pecking order just because there's just more really good prospects? And again, I don't think Hendon Hooker is a first round pick type of quarterback. I could be wrong about that. I mean, he outperformed his previous performance in college at Virginia Tech without question. He's made himself a prospect where going into this year, he was, I don't think, on radar at all. So if you can go from off the radar to some people thinking maybe he could be a third round pick this year, why couldn't you go, beyond that next year? But there are, there are physical characteristics. He doesn't have the biggest arm. Some of what he does in this offense, you don't want to do it as much of that in the NFL because you get people hurt, and I know some quarterbacks do, but I'm looking at the 23, so people are projecting. We'll see with Spencer Rattler, but obviously a very disappointing sophomore season here. You got Matt Corral next year. I'm trying to think. I thought Malik Willis would be Uyangalele.
Matt Corral is going to go out this year, right?
Is Matt Corral going to go out this year?
I would be shocked if not.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. If he does, and Willis the same thing, then, obviously Bryce Young, eligible for the first time in 23. Well, I think he's pretty special. C.J. Stroud could also be that. But it's so hard because you're not talking about those guys. There's always going to be, two, three, four, five quarterbacks that are overdrafted, right? Some of them are obvious. That's your number one pick. This year, there's not that guy. But the depth of the class is what matters more. And it's hard to know, So that's one thing on his side, though, is you got to try to figure that out. Like, even if things go well at Tennessee, are you still going to be in a, just in a lower draft position next year because of the class? And then what we talked about last segment, I think you got to also try to figure out what you could do. I just think a star quarterback at Tennessee with name, image, likeness and what it is already, becoming for some college athletes, I think that could be really lucrative and make it much more worthwhile to stay in school.
Well, I do too. I know from a Tennessee standpoint, like, him coming back would make the quarterback situation a lot easier next year in terms of, like, you're already going to have to deal with transfer portal to some degree. Like, Tennessee probably needs to find a transfer quarterback this year in the portal somewhere to come in and give you some depth there. You got a recruit coming in We'll see what happens with Joe Milton. I would imagine if Hendon Hooker is back, Joe Milton probably won't be. If Hendon Hooker is not back, I'm interested to see, you know, does Josh Heupel want to move forward and say Joe Milton's your guy heading into next year? I mean, look, I said it. I'm kind of out on Joe Milton at this point. I also understand that watching Joe Milton play with the physical tools he brings to the table, I understand why that's tempting to people and you try to coach that. I don't love the idea of Joe Milton being the quarterback for Tennessee next year. I don't think that's probably the most outrageous idea at this point either.
Well, I'm glad you can at least get to that, because I feel like a vast majority of the Tennessee fan base is like, please never take another snap for us. And look, you know, when you have the lack of awareness he did on the last snap against Ole Miss, it's like, how's that happen? And we know about the, you know, early season Jover throws, and they piled up. I still think it's a pretty small sample size with him, and I don't think the entire sample size was negative. But you know, we'll see. I mean, if I'm Josh Heupel, I definitely want Milton to stay, even if I'm not 100% committed to him as the starter. I want him to be in the quarterback room competing with someone, and then probably somebody TBD.
True, would be nice for Josh Heupel, though, if Hendon Hooker comes back, then your quarterback situation pretty much handled at that point. Just got to keep him healthy.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. And, yeah, it's – I don't know. It is one of those things, once you go into it, it's easy to go around and around on this one. It's a fascinating one. Usually those situations turn into go. I mean, this game is so violent. You have such a small – period of time where you can go make money in the NFL. And as Mike Wilson pointed out, and we've talked about, he's older. So usually the answer, I usually just expect it to turn into go, but name, image, likeness is a game changer. Again, Scottie Pippen Jr. at Vanderbilt basketball, he's not here playing for Vanderbilt this year if not for name, image, likeness. And I think, and this is, to me, it's one of the many positives about players now being able to benefit financially, is that now it gives you another big reason to stay in school, and it can ultimately benefit you in multiple ways.
Congratulations to Jacob in Murfreesboro, our winner of the trivia question. Paul Kariya had 85 points in 05-06 to set the single season points record for the Predators. 85 points. That record still stands today. Jacob got it right, and he is going to the Predators and the Canadiens coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. When we come back, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em here on the program. We'll get to some conference championship games this week. Also a weekend in the NFL as well without the Titans. So we'll have to dig into the bag a little bit. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. No Vols, no Vandy, no Titans in action this week. So a little bit of a different version of Pigskin Pick'em this week. Before we get started on that, Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update in Pigskin Pick'em.
I'm making sure Michelle got the graphic right. Sometimes she cheats to make herself look even better.
She does.
No, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You got me, Joe.
L's down. I think you got it. I think you got it.
Hey, that was my lock, so.
And you were right. So she's still destroying us. 46 and so we all went 3-3, but Michelle got her lock. You and I did not get our lock. So 46 and 26, 54 points, 8-4 in her locks is Michelle. I'm 33 and 39, 37 points, 4-8 on my locks. And Robbie, you are 32 and 40. So you're only a game behind me, but 34 points, 3 points behind me because you're 2-10 on your lock. So again, go back to your Costanza. Whatever you think your lock is, make your least lock your lock. And make your lock just your least lock.
Just atrocious. With that in mind, let's get rolling today. We begin with conference championship weekend in college football, and we'll start in the SEC title game. Georgia taking on Alabama. Michelle Knezovic, you are up first. Georgia -6.5 in this game against the Crimson Tide.
I know that Georgia's been rolling all year long, and Alabama hasn't had a traditionally winning season like they normally do. But the line is -6.5 for – wait, is Bama favored by minus 6.5?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Or Georgia, I wrote it wrong on here. I'm actually going to take Bama plus 6.5. I think this is going to be a lot closer game than Vegas predicts.
Joe Rexroad, Georgia favored by 6.5 in this game. Your prediction between Georgia and Alabama?
I will go with my Bulldogs. I mean, where was that accent from? Give me the Georgia Bulldogs at minus 6.5, please.
Kingston Springs. Georgia minus 6.5. I will also go with Georgia minus 6.5 in this game. I just think that Georgia defense is going to be too much, even for an offense like Alabama. So I'll go Georgia minus the 6.5. The Big Ten title game, Michigan taking on Iowa. It's been a good week for Jim Harbaugh. Joe Rexroad, let's start with you. Michigan favored by 10.5 in this game against Iowa. Who do you got?
I just think the Wolverines are that team. They're going to get that done and then go to Myers and get some milk. Michigan will win this game going away. Michigan minus 10.5.
We've got to do something with you. We really do.
we only have a few minutes left to enjoy these wonderful stylings.
It's true.
Have you guys ever seen Good Morning Vietnam real fast?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like that guy who wanted to replace him with all his funny voices. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bruno Kirby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will also go with Michigan. And you know what? Make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Michigan Wolverines in this game. I just don't know if Iowa knows how to throw a forward pass. So with that in mind, I'm going to go with Michigan to cover the 10.5 point spread. Michelle Knezovic, Michigan and Iowa. Michigan favored by 10.5.
3 for 3, guys. I think Michigan is rolling. I think they cover the 10.5.
That makes me nervous that we all three went with Michigan. I've seen Michigan do this before.
I wanted to pick Iowa, but no.
You still can.
Nah.
You still can. There's still time.
Are you guys trying to psych me out?
Yes.
Well, look, we've already lost to you. There's literally, I don't think, any way we can catch up
at
this
point. Don't give up.
Baylor taking on Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game. I'll start with this one. Oklahoma State is favored by 5.5 in this game. Give me Baylor to cover the 5.5 in this game. I still think Oklahoma State wins outright, but I think they're going to win by about a field goal. So I will go Baylor to cover the 5.5 in this game. Michelle Knezovic, Oklahoma State and Baylor in the Big 12 title game.
Robbie, I think the same thing. I think that Baylor is going to cover. I do think Oklahoma State will end up winning, but I think it's going to be a closer game than the 5.5. So give me plus 5.5 Baylor.
Joe Rex, Baylor and Oklahoma State, are you going to put your money on the mullet?
Them Texas boys going to get this one done, folks. I didn't even know we were picking this game. I'm sorry. I thought we were doing Houston-Cincinnati. But
well, nobody ever responded to me on the text line. So
we switched it up on you.
Well, by golly, Robbie, I'll go with Baylor.
All right. Everybody going with Baylor. Clean sweep for Michigan and a clean sweep for Baylor as well. We now move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you. Your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm heading to the NFL. Dolphins, Giants. Dolphins are favored by 4.5. I really liked what I saw from Tua. I think the Dolphins are kind of finding their groove later in the season. Give me the Dolphins 4.5. I think they'll cover. Give me on the money line. I think they'll win as well.
Michelle going with the Dolphins minus 4.5 against the Giants. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Well, I thought this was us picking, so I'll just make it an individual one. Houston, Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's going to roll. I think Cincinnati knows it has to get style points. It's at home. You know, that's how they do it in that league, and I think it's going to be a raucous crowd. I think that's going to make a difference. So I will take the Bearcats minus 10.5.
Lots of faith in Luke Fickell and the Bearcats, minus 10.5 against Houston. I will stay in college football with my first pick as well, with the highly anticipated Pac-12 title game between Utah and Oregon taking place tonight. Utah favored by 2.5. I think Utah wins this game by 17 points. Utah by 17 against Oregon in this game. Oregon has, I just feel like, an end-of-season letdown coming their way. Give me Utah minus the 2.5 in this game. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
The Pats at the Bills, Monday Night Football. You know, the Pats are wicked good, okay? Now my Boston is just garbage.
Yeah, and
I don't really know. I don't have a Bills accent, a Buffalo accent. But the Buffalo Bills are going to give a verbal and physical beating to the Pats on Monday night. Give me the Bills minus 2.5 and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Bills minus 2.5 against the Patriots. Joe Rexroad locking down on the inconsistent but very talented Buffalo Bills. Michelle Knezovic, your second individual selection.
Well, how about this? We just had the same game, Joe. Pats, Bills, but give me the Pats and make that my lock.
Ooh. Guarantee.
Wow.
It'll be a fun Tuesday morning.
Now I feel terrible about my pick. Awesome.
Opposing locks. Michelle and Joe going head-to-head. I will get in the NFL as well for my second pick. Give me the Niners minus 3.5 against the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are falling apart at the seams. Niners playing some really good football as of late. I was kind of surprised the line was only 3.5. I know the Niners are on the road, but give me the Niners to win this game comfortably against the Seahawks. And I will close this out with our final round of individual selections as well. Give me the Indianapolis Colts minus 10 against the Houston Texans. I don't like the Texans in this matchup because I don't think there's any chance they stop Jonathan Taylor on the ground. I think he runs wild in this game. Give me the Colts minus the 10 against the Houston Texans. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Jeremy Pruitt here to tell you we're about to take it to the Dolphins, all right? Don't you worry about a thing. We got this covered down here in New York with Jeremy Pruitt.
No, actually, I'm taking the Dolphins. I'm going to totally copy Michelle and take the Dolphins minus 5.
Minus 4.5, so you're in good shape there.
Yeah, minus 4.5, Joe.
Oh, okay, good. Even better. Even better, okay?
Dolphins minus
4. The show's almost over, guys. Don't worry, it's almost over.
Against the Giants. Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection.
Finally, keeping it in the NFL, we've got Rams favored by 13 over the Jags. The Rams have just not been performing too well. Give me the Jags on this one at plus 13.
That's right. The Jags plus 13 against the LA Rams. I called in Call Your Shot Friday earlier, the Jags to win that game outright. Joe Rexroad, your thoughts?
Well, you did. That's a stunner. We've had a lot of the same like ideas in games, and I feel like there's just a lot of AFC South talk today, and you may have noted that even though I called the shot that the Texans will win, I did not mess with that game here. And I'm not at all ashamed to be a coward.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Dennis texting in. Joe's been hit in the head by the studio equipment too many times. It's knocked some screws loose. This coming to your accent and to your picks as well.
I do declare. Whatever do you mean, sir?
Hey, Trevor, there's only one segment left, guys. Turn off my mic.
In. Joe's southern accent sounds like he's from Cheeks Creek. Thank you, Trevor. We appreciate that. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to your text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Look to a big weekend in college football as well. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, Brian Kelly, the gift that has kept on giving today here on the program. His fake Southern accent last night at the LSU game was awesome. I can't wait until somebody asks him about this. It's going to be awesome. He will not answer it, but it's going to be great.
Whatever do you mean, fake accent?
So Ben asked me to go out in a flurry of terrible accents so that we can then destroy the lamp so the genie never returns. It's actually not a bad idea. Hey, but you know what? We need to make fun of Jared as we end the show. We haven't talked about Jared all day. We have not hit our 60% quota of talking about Jared. So I beat him on Jared versus Joe yesterday, and he because he came up with an idea that college programs that hire coaches during this time period should be banned from the playoff, because you get a 2-year playoff ban from the playoff for doing so.
A 2-year playoff ban.
Yes. I mean, he's serious. Like he screamed about this for like an hour yesterday.
Really?
Yes. So let's all laugh at him in unison in different accents.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Michelle. That was nice.
That was so bad. So bad.
What accent was that laugh?
Hello. I was trying to be British.
There you go. See, we got everybody into it now. I expect Darren Donick and Chase to all try out their favorite accents today, too.
Got a texter that says, Joe, please say Adrian in the Philly voice like you're Sylvester Stallone, I suppose.
Yo, Adrian, can I have some asparagus or what, huh? That was awful. Philly, I don't really have a grasp on Philly. I'm tough with Philly. And terrible with Boston, but pretty good with New York, right? What'd you say?
I feel like
huh?
for New York, you just try to copy Paul Kaharsky.
Well, no, Kaharsky's like this. I'm from New York. I'm Paul Kaharsky. Coach Vrabel, isn't it ironic, don't you think?
Like, that's a totally different New York.
Your final score prediction this weekend, Joe Rexroad, in Alabama and Georgia. How do you foresee this game shaking out?
I think Alabama will be there in the fourth quarter, and maybe I'm being wishful as a viewer of the game, hoping it'll be interesting. But I think they'll hang in for a while, but ultimately Georgia wins like 27-17. That's about where I see it finishing.
I think Georgia wins this game 34-20. I think that is the final score, 34-20. In this game. So I think Alabama has, I guess, relative success against this Georgia defense. But at the end of the day, it's just too much. 34-20, Bryce Young baited into a couple of turnovers by this Georgia defense.
Two guys in that game who can, well, I suppose, you know, Jordan Davis was one of the finalists for the Walter Camp. Walter Camp's kind of a good preview of the Heisman.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis, Aiden Hutchinson, who's playing for Michigan, Kenneth Walker for Michigan State, Bryce Young, obviously, and who am I forgetting? Was C.J. Stroud? I don't know, but they had those two defensive players. Will Anderson should have been a finalist for the Walter Camp. I think of the defensive players, I think he actually should be top in the pecking order there. And he's got a chance. I mean, if he can wreck this game, and give Alabama a chance, and he's a wrecker. I mean, look at what he's done this year for a so-so defense. He's been remarkable. So there's another guy who, I mean, two guys in that game, and again, maybe three if Jordan Davis does ridiculous things. They need to give him a goal line carrier too, probably. The Heisman race also still up in the air right now, very much.
Have you seen the picture of Jordan Davis standing next to like this other Georgia linebacker who's 6'3" and 300 some odd pounds or whatever the case is?
I know.
And like Jordan Davis looks like his dad sitting next to him. It's pretty incredible.
I have not. The last thing I saw on Twitter was Dennis's Photoshop of BK as Farmer Fran.
Oh, boy. So, Joe Rexroad, your prediction of what the college football playoff will look like come Monday morning. Who are your four teams that make the college football playoff?
Well, with Georgia winning, you know, I think you're going to eliminate Alabama. I think you know there's a scenario with Alabama, you know, where Alabama sneaks in with a super close loss, and then other stuff helping them. But I don't think the other stuff will help them. Cincinnati wins. I've got Baylor beating Oklahoma State and knocking them out of there. I got Michigan winning, so I think it's going to be. It's going to be Alabama, or excuse me, I'm just so used to saying that. It's going to be Georgia as your one. It's going to be, who am I forgetting here? Now you got
Michigan at two.
Now you got, yeah, it's going to be Michigan staying at the two, and then it's you know Cincinnati at the three. And why am I blanking out on who the four is? Well, because that's the thing.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, so if I got Oklahoma State, that's where, you know what, and that's where now you've trapped me into not knowing what my prediction is because what would happen there? If those games happen the way I think they'll happen, then you're coming down to Notre Dame or does Alabama actually get in as a two-loss team? Oklahoma State's out of there. I don't think Ohio State – I'm honestly – if I picked games that I'd like to see, I'd put Ohio State in because I think Ohio State could at least challenge the Georgia defense. But I think in that scenario, I think Notre Dame's in.
Yeah, I do too. I think in that scenario, if Oklahoma State loses, Notre Dame would be in at that point, which is pretty incredible to think about.
I mean, but so what if the games happen the way I'm predicting? Yeah, it is. And we're talking about a hot debate between Alabama and Notre Dame. And I think now we remember the committee did say this week, you know, there's a little bylaw, you know, player and coach absence, but I don't think that they would dock them a lot. They've got continuity. Their D coordinator is officially their head coach, and what a story that would be if Notre Dame not only gets in, but then what if they make a run?
Yeah.
I do awesome. Declare, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. Brian Kelly from the Bayou.
My football team has won the national title, and I wasn't there.
I wasn't there with my family.
I was with my family. Oh, God, this Brian
has,
Kelly.
This has been, I think that we've done a really nice job today of saying a lot of different accents, and I hope people appreciate that.
I agree.
I think this is an award-winning episode of Robbie.
I think it is, too. It's one of the top. Look, I don't think it's going to be that exciting, unfortunately, this weekend when it comes to the college football playoff. I think Georgia's the one. I think Michigan ends up being the two. Cincinnati ends up being the three. And Oklahoma State squeaks by Baylor, and they end up at number four. I don't anticipate a ton of drama. That would mean that Alabama is the only team in there now that would be out at that point with a job or with a loss to Georgia at that point. So that's my Final Four prediction. I think Georgia's the one, Michigan's the two, Cincy's three, and Oklahoma State ends up at the four.
And this happens every year, but there's just no matchup for Georgia that you are excited about, you know?
Right.
I mean, I maybe Michigan, if they got to that. But honestly, like Ohio State's the team I look at. They got pushed around by Michigan. They have the offense that maybe could push Georgia, but we'll never see it.
Join ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group as we team up this holiday season to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. More than 4,000 children in the metro area experience homelessness and over 18,000 in Middle Tennessee. The Game and Cromwell Media are teaming up with Souls for Souls to provide a new pair of shoes to these children who are experiencing homelessness. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls every test drive at any of the Newton Motor Group's four locations now through the end of the year. So something to keep in mind there. We need your help to give these kids the joy and confidence they deserve. More information and to donate, you can find that information at thegamenashville.com/shoes. Joe Rexroad, that's going to do it for us today. I'm going to head off and hang out with the mouse for the rest of the weekend.
I hope you have a wonderful time, Robert. A wonderful time.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. David Beauclair will be in for me coming up on Monday morning, so looking forward to that. We'll have lots to react to coming up on Monday in terms of the college football playoff, a big weekend in the NFL. We'll see if the Titans can get any help this weekend from the lowly Houston Texans against the Indianapolis Colts. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroad. Hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Darren Donica chased up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.